Well, this assumes that humans are the most computationally intense creatures on the planet, right?
Yeah.
What if
we're not?
We're not. What if it's trees?
Scotch.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 131 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast of Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam, and I'm the iNode depleter.
I'm Sam, and I write words a lot.
And this is a show where we talk about life, business, and working in the games industry. Today is January 2, 20, great team.
Yeah.
Before we get started, we have a warning. Anything can happen on this show. There's going to be profanity, and we're going to talk about adult stuff sometimes. So this show should not be listened to by infants.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get started. First things first, this is a prime number episode.
Ooh,
so
celebrate.
I was wondering, it sounded super prime.
Congratulations. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do the primes get further apart sort of as we go? Or no, is it kind of arbitrary?
They get a clump or something. There's some weird...
They have sort of a random distribution.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So
primes are fucking whack.
So we can't say that this is, you know, an uncommon occurrence.
It might be
it's common.
Might be another one tomorrow.
Could be.
Probably not
because
even numbers
can't be next to each other because of the whole even
maybe
odd thing.
The next.
But hey.
But it is the case that some primes, I mean, you know, prime means exactly one thing, right? But still, some numbers feel more prime than others,
mm-hmm.
You know?
I would agree with
like
that.
Like 131, it's like three prime numbers stuck together. Like
right.
Each subset of it.
And there's some primes that feel like primes, but maybe they're not primes.
Like 111?
Yeah.
Is that a prime?
Is it?
I don't know.
121 is not, but I don't know. I think 111 might be prime. I don't know.
Can't even tell.
It's those fucking sevens and threes, though, that always throw everything's out of whack because they make ones, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's how you do it.
It's disconcerting.
It's very, very uncomfortable. All right, so it's the new year. It's 20 great teen. What's going on,
what's happening?
Guys?
What is it? Is it going to be great?
It better be great.
That's the first question.
It didn't start off great for some of us.
Yeah. So, as our listeners know, I had the flu on my birthday.
Sam missed the last podcast because he was fluing.
Yep.
First he was colding.
He was cold and then he flew.
So apparently what happens is a cold comes in, you know, and it just kind of like gets in. And then it opens the door and has sort of like a house party.
Yeah, it's like it's too hot in here.
Yeah, we need to bring in
more
guests.
Yeah, right.
And so the flu came in, you know, had a visit for about a week. And, of course, you're contagious it's like 5 to 7 days after your first fever or something like that is what I read.
You're like a Katamari ball of diseased humans.
Yeah, and so I was like, I don't want to come back in the office and then destroy everybody before they head off on their breaks. So I self-quarantined for the week before break, which is
although
never
you did
fun.
Try to unquarantine yourself, but we had none of that.
I did. I always try to escape quarantine.
I did too back when I was quarantined.
Yep.
So.
It's not fun. So, but I managed to get a bunch of work done, which is good. And then headed off on, you know, on the break, which when I left, I did that thing where you get on an airplane where you're super congested and then you mm-hmm. can't hear for like a day afterward mm-hmm. because your ears are all weird.
You can't get the pressure out of your ears.
Mm-hmm. So this happened. And then actually my return, so 2017 just had one last death rattle.
One last punch to the gut.
Which was I ate a meal at like 10 o'clock on the final day of 2017, which was the only different food that I ate from my wife over the, like that whole
You were like,
day.
I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to get it.
I'm going to get some fish. Mm. So
fish from where?
It's like a cafe thing.
Okay. So it wasn't sketchy fish, but it was.
It was.
Apparently,
it should not have been sketchy.
Turned out it was sketchy. But.
Turned out it was.
So wake up in the morning. Of course, we're waking up at like 5 a.m. to leave. And this is after New Year's. So we went to bed like 1. So we got one good REM cycle in, get up. And I'm like, my head feels a little weird. I feel a little odd. And then get to the airport, get in the airplane, start flying. And I'm like, something is wrong.
Something's amiss.
Something's amiss. And so I ended up just sitting in the lavatory for probably like 40 minutes. You know, I was going to be that person. I was like, it's fine because no one wants me to throw up on them, even if they're mad at me being in this bathroom, like locking it down. There's 3 of them on the plane, you know, whatever.
How was that though? Because, I mean, you kind of technically had like your own private room on
this. That's true. It's actually, it was.
Was the leg room better than the
yes.
seats?
Actually, yeah. It's like, yeah, I was actually marveling at the design of those things because I was in there for a while. You know, because if you, next time you fly or even like you're in any really tightly designed space, just notice how crafty they are with like where they put everything. So there's a Kleenex holder. There's Kleenexes, like napkins for your, like, I guess like wiping stuff. and then toilet paper. And they're like in three different locations and like embedded in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically there's no inch of that
it's
surface.
It's like a Tetris thing.
Yeah. It's incredible.
So this is a great life hack. You know, you instead of buying a first class ticket, you just buy a coach ticket.
And then just
hang out, hang out in the bathroom.
It has running water. It's incredible.
It's got everything. It's like a tiny, tiny dorm room.
Yeah. So I was in there for a while.
Tiny, smelly dorm room.
I managed to sort of hold myself together until I finally got home, which was like, I just felt disgusting all day. And then yesterday I just spent sleeping essentially and vomiting and other things.
Just so, alternating or at the same time?
Alternating. That's good. I managed to do that well.
He was just a spinning, sleeping, screaming projectile.
The best part though,
excreter.
Is I think from all the chemo I got, I've gotten really good at vomiting. Like my body
is a skill.
I'm honed. Yeah. I'm like an Olympian when it comes to this particular skill.
Uh-huh.
And so my wife was downstairs putting stuff away and I was in bed and then at some point she hears this, this like, and you just like, just this, just disgusting shattering of, any veil of me being a good looking person or any sort of,
yeah,
comfortable thing to be around because I know how to throw up nowadays,
This it's does a make,
skill.
So, so you do, are definitely probably the best vomiter that I know personally.
Yeah.
But this does make
there's
me
no
think,
Forbes list for that one.
No, there's not. No, there's not yet. Maybe we should make the B-Scotch list of vomiters.
Yeah.
it's a tough list to get on. It takes a lot of work.
Really, but this reminds me though of, I feel like I was a kid at the time, but I remember watching some show about this guy who decided to make art by vomiting stuff, right? And he would like swallow these like, relatively food safe paints and stuff. And he would just like drink a whole bunch of it in enormous volumes and then just vomit all over.
Man, that guy would be on the list.
And he was, he was making these like, and he was selling this stuff and people were buying it. I remember watching this.
That's awesome. Buy that? I mean, like sometimes you look at a painting and you're like, I feel like this didn't take any effort. But I feel like
takes effort.
Yeah. There's a lot of pain involved.
Maybe not skill sort of in terms of practice, but there's definitely some effort. Certainly.
But I think you should challenge this guy to a vomit off.
Yeah, I could spray paint a wall 10 feet away. The best part of that is that I woke up this morning, getting ready for work, and like very excited, and I don't feel like vomiting, so I'm like, it's a good day, good start to 2018. We started a day late.
And then I go
try to turn my car on. And of course, it's been like a degree in St. Louis in the past couple of weeks. So my car's dead.
My car was very upset with me this morning.
So it was like,
so yeah, it's been negative. It's been negative degrees in St. Louis for a few days. So it's
been chilly.
So I've had a bit of a rough entry, but my spirits are high. Spirits are high.
So
I love New Year's.
Let's talk about New Year. So Adam had some stuff he wanted to talk about as far as technology goes.
Yeah. Well, anytime something happens, so like when you're switching between one month and another, or when you're basically anything to do with dates, but especially changes in the year, are always really interesting because you never know what's going to happen with your software. And I would bet that most software fucks up a little bit, but usually just in a way that's pretty minor, right? So as an example, we have a whole bunch of timers in games and stuff, and what they'll do is they'll compare the current time versus some past time, right? But if you use the time in the wrong way, then if you look at like day of the year, for example, then at the very end of the year, you might take that difference. And now it's all of a sudden an enormous negative number instead of a positive number or something. Mm-hmm. Right? So there are all these kinds of weird cases that if you're not thinking through everything when you're playing with dates, you're going to run into trouble. So I think this is always really interesting just try to see if I can see anything break when a new year rolls around,
This is like Y2K, but
just every year
that was to an nth degree because it was going from 99 of the year down to zero.
Yep.
And nobody saw this coming. They're like
one of those gray rhinos.
Yeah. And so I only noticed one thing. So I didn't notice any of my software break, which is a relief.
Nailed it.
But again, we mostly design our stuff to fail gracefully. So probably it did, but who knows? But I did see, I got emails from Amazon AWS, which is the provider we're using for a lot of our web stuff. So I use them personally and also for work. And so yesterday I got up, checked my email, saw in both my personal and my work email had emails from Amazon saying, giving me these basically warnings about exceeding the free tier of a service that I was using or whatever. And I was like, this is weird because I actually haven't used my personal one for a year. So I was like, this doesn't make any sense. This is weird. But I was looking at the specific something they put in there. And what they do is they look at your current usage and then predict the usage for the month and then try to give you a heads up. Like, we think you're going to, you know, exceed your limit. But for whatever reason, with the moment the new year turned around, they applied that to everything, even things that don't, you know, accrue over time. And so what had happened to me was that all of my alerts that were set up, so like I had one alert set up, right? But they calculated that would mean I would have 30 alerts.
Right.
it's just a fucking alert. Right. So they're, but for some reason their calculation changed. So they're like, oh, you're going to have like, you can only have 10 for free. So you're going to be hitting that limit. So we just want to give you a heads up. And then for work, we had another, it's like a similar one where just they just suddenly were applying the wrong calculations to stuff, right? At the turn of the year. And I couldn't actually even guess how that happened.
And it's a dumb bug because it happens once a year. So yeah. It's like, meh.
Yeah, because right.
I fix it.
Yeah.
Eh, whatever.
Well, then what they did, and so I was looking at that and I was laughing about it yesterday. And I was like, I bet I'm going to get an email tomorrow from Amazon saying, hey, ignore that prior thing. And sure enough, that's what I got this morning.
But did you get it 30 times? Did you get
it? I got it once per email address. But you know.
That's good.
But it's something that is underappreciated unless you are a programmer, is how much dates suck.
Dates are
horrible.
Are fucking garbage.
Mm-hmm. It would be really nice if the date was just whatever day it is.
Yeah, so today, just plus
so,
one.
Yeah, so today
just add one.
Today is 65,292.
Yeah.
The end.
It's a good day.
Yeah, we should really just count. We should just count in like femtoseconds or something, you know, so that we don't have to do anything else.
We should.
It's just a number.
I don't know what a femto is.
The number is really little.
Okay.
Because what I'm saying is we don't want to have to like go into fractions of time, you know, because we already have this problem with now like minutes and seconds. Because
there's
like
pennies.
60 of those stupid things. And pennies.
Who needs those?
So let's talk about what does this mean to be in the new year, to be in 2018? So for starters, we have a short break that happens around the new year, like December 23rd, over through the new year. And we've talked in the past about how on the weekend, you know, you become weakened because that's why it's called this. Because on your normal day to day, you become stronger through the power of work, right? You get
and
shit.
Exercising your will.
Yeah. You get shit done. You have a good routine. And then the weekend comes and you just crumble into dust because all your routines collapse. You have no structure. You have no sense of purpose.
You accomplish nothing.
In the world, you accomplish nothing. So what happens on a break, like a long break?
Turns out you get broke.
You become broken. Weekends make you weakened and breaks break you.
Well, let's talk about why. So because
it's like a weekend. It's just way longer.
Right.
But a big part of it is
if you
like,
get weak enough, you break.
Yeah.
We talked about TGB, right? Thanksgiving break was one of our other studio breaks, which happened. We took a lot of vacations, apparently, this last 2 months.
This is just a weird time of year.
It is. Know? A lot of breaks.
A lot of family action.
And usually for most people, myself included, like the first couple of days, you're like, this is awesome. You're doing maybe catching up on some stuff, doing all your planned stuff. But then at some point, the awesome kind of wanes to a degree, and especially if you're in a circumstance where you actually don't get to exhibit control over yourself.
So if you're staying at someone's
family,
perhaps, or whatever.
Yeah. So and the holidays involve a lot of visits with families, which you know tend to be can be trying times for us all.
It really, I think, can depend on the host.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if the host sort of has like a schedule of activities that you have to engage in,
right.
Well, then that can be pretty. It's not a break.
But they even talk about how, you know, even like friends who stay with you, in-laws who stay with you, every guest goes bad after 3 days, just like fish.
So that means if you're staying somewhere for more than 3 days,
you gotta go,
and you go bad.
You're the problem, yeah.
You're the problem. Fish that's food poisoning.
Absolutely.
It's basically anyone who disrupts another person's normal day-to-day operations. You know, there's just a time limit on that. No matter how awesome you are, there's just a time limit.
And it's 1 hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So...
So I even experienced this. I mean, I really enjoy my in-laws. I like them as people. It's fun. But after, you know, a week of being with them, the last two of the three last days that we were all together, I was just like, I'm going to work in my hotel room today.
But it's more of a, it's not you, it's me kind of a thing.
Yeah. I was like, you guys are great.
You got your own stuff you got to do.
Yeah. I want to read. I want to do some writing. I just want to think. And so they just left me alone. It was great. They weren't, you know, no one's mean about it, which is nice. Sometimes people are. So.
Yeah. Well, I think also it's that. When you're seeing people that you don't see very often and when you're out somewhere, so if you're visiting a place or especially if you go on a vacation as a group or something, then it feels like there's an expectation that you just be available and are like hanging out all the time, because that's why you're there ostensibly, right? But there's a reason we don't do that just every day, which is because it's fucking tiring, right? You know? So, because we get, there's other stuff we need to be doing. And actually, like my life felt like it was descending into chaos after 3 days. Mm-hmm. And again, not because I was also at my in-laws, but it wasn't through any fault of theirs. It was just, I wasn't at home.
Yeah, you're not doing your thing.
Expectations were weird.
Right.
In that they were different from normal. And so I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, I should be here, you know? So I was like always trying to be around.
So do you think that this is the reason that we have New Year's resolutions? Because technically you could resolve to make your life better basically at any point. Right. Uh-huh. We could have March resolutions.
Oh, you're saying
could have monthly resolutions.
Because there's this week-long chaos.
There's this, yeah, because build. we go the end of the year in many cultures, there's just lots of disruptions to your normal day-to-day, which means all of your good behavior just goes to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have people being like, well, I was going to start a diet, but
it's November. It's
Thanksgiving, right. And then there's a few more weeks, and then it's Christmas already, and then I got to eat a whole ham, you know, and then then it's cake time, because that's the day after Christmas is cake time. And then then there's New Year's, and I'm just going to be drunk for 36 hours. But then... after that,
let's wipe this slate clean.
Let's wipe this slate clean. I'm going to resolve to do better this time.
You think maybe it's because
I'm planning for the next 6 weeks to just be a human sort of garbage pile.
So then by the time you end the year, you're like, I have
fucked up.
I'm at the lowest point in my life.
Because maybe people do okay up until like mid-November.
I think most people do.
And then...
it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
It is true, like, because it is that the year culminates in just this debauchery.
And this is hard to deal with.
Yeah. Know? Well, and also, but you know, and everybody's eating really poorly on purpose in terms of just sheer quantity. Correct. And stuff, you know, which makes you feel like shit. And then everybody has left their normal routine because they're trying to escape work and all that kind of stuff. They're trying to reconnect with people. And so everybody just like leaves everything like stable and healthy behind for basically 2 months.
Yeah.
At the end of every year.
And then you're like, I'd go to the gym, but I just got so much turkey in my stomach. Like, I can't move.
Back when I got my surgery now, I guess a little over 2 months ago, I was thinking about this because I was like, I could either do it now or with the risk that I wouldn't be able to eat all the delicious foods that were coming up, you know, for all these holidays. Or I could wait until all of them were over and then do it. But I figured I couldn't really eat anyway in either case. So I might as well go ahead. But it turned out to be a huge benefit, because then when I came to all these big events, I just couldn't stuff myself anymore. Right? So I still ate less healthily than I should have, and still did things,
but not in sort of a crippling way.
Yeah, but exactly. But every day I then woke up the next day and actually felt relatively fine.
What was this like? You know? Tell me.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Here's the weird thing. I mean, is there some kind of a groupthink going on here? Because. So the idea of groupthink is like everybody wants something, but they think that the rest of the group wants something else.
It's a huge problem actually in college campuses. One of the big things they do is just showing that, like, if you take a survey and you're like, do you like drinking so much that you black out? Everyone's like, no, but everybody thinks that everybody else does. And so
then they all just do it together.
One of the only ways they've proven to actually drop the incidence of basically over drinking on college campuses is just to post that survey. Like, you just post that publicly up in like dorms and stuff and say, people, no one actually likes doing this. Everyone's just doing it because for some reason everyone thinks everybody else wants to do it.
Right. So I mean, is that what happens when, like, how many turkeys have to die because
of our group thing?
Because none of us has the courage to be like, what about not eating that, eating a 40 pound bird today? Right.
<You know? laughs> I don't know. Might be.
Yep. Well, and then now continually eating garbage for the next six weeks.
Well, speaking of New Year's, like, I do really personally, I love New Year's resolutions, because I do, with the getting things done method, you're supposed to be doing a review basically weekly of all your stuff, right? And then every quarter, or, you know, some longer form of time, then you sort of step back and try to take a higher viewpoint and say, okay, am I doing what I need to be doing to achieve whatever it is that I want to in the long term, or just have the life I want day by day. And so I love New Year's because of all the breaks. Actually, there's this huge window of time, depending on the structure of your break, to, you know, do some reading, do some deep thinking about kind of where you're at, where you're trying to go, and then plan appropriately. And I find what I tried this year is, instead of setting a bunch of different, usually I set a bunch of different sort of goals. So it'll be like, oh, you know, do some particular weight in the gym, or or create some number of assets for a game, whatever. Just weird sort of almost arbitrary things. And there's this, I can't remember the guy's name, like Scott Adams maybe, who does the Dilbert comic. He says, losers have goals, winners have systems. This is his shtick. And so I was like, maybe for this new year, instead of doing that big list of goals, I'll do, instead of sort of a few sort of focusing either questions or quotes or that sort of thing. And so with this new year, I resolved to, so I did a bunch of reading. I finished the book, Tribe of Mentors, which is a Tim Ferriss book, where he combines just all this knowledge from, you know, all these people who are basically super successful in whatever they do into this tome. And then you just, you can read it, you can flip to wherever you want, and then just kind of like random tidbits will jump out at you. And so I did this last year as well with his previous book, Tools of Titans, and found it very, very useful. So I started the new year in the same way.
Tools of Titans, not Twizzle Titans.
Just this is a very case. Different book. Tools of Titans, yeah. And I really like both those books. And if you haven't read either of them, I'd actually recommend the Tools of Titans one first. I think it's better, personally. But so, you know, I did this while I was in that in the hotel on vacation with the family. And did a bunch of writing, did a bunch of self-exploration and stuff. And I just always find it really useful to just take the time to sit down and do it. And I find that, you know, on a normal weekend, it's almost like kind of like we talk about airplanes. Like the fun part about being on an airplane is that you're kind of like you're trapped on an airplane. So you have to do something, whether it's read a book or watch a movie or just engage mentally. And so being on this trip and wanting to kind of get away and isolate myself, I didn't have anything to do.
It's really all this thing. Just amounts to like not having a screen in front of you.
That's basically, you know, at the end of the day.
Guess I'll think.
So one of my favorite quotes from that Tribe of Mentors book was this idea of macro patience, micro speed. So one of the guys was talking about the problem that a lot of people have is that people make these big plans and then they get really aggravated when like those things take a really fucking long time to realize, right?
Yeah.
But then
you're like, I'm going to lose 200 pounds.
Right.
Well, no, you're going to lose a pound 200 times
here and there. Right. And so, and then the micro speed part of it. So the macro patience is saying, okay, you know, with your long-term goals, put them out there and then relax about when they're going to hit and instead focus on the micro level. So the day-to-day, you know, the next 5 minutes sort of thing, because, you know, his point was talking about Netflix and Twitter, actually, was his rant, which is always ours too, which is that, you know, you might have these big goals, but for some reason people always have these big goals, but then don't focus sort of feverishly in their micro moment in like the next 5 minutes about what should I be doing to actually be, you know, working toward these things. And instead you take that frustration with the macro level and then you let it seep into the micro level where you actually could be working toward a thing. And you're just like, well, I can't make any progress in this. Or I ate a whole cake yesterday, so I guess my diet's done.
I guess I'll go to the gym starting next month.
Yeah. And so I really like that quote, macro patience, micro speed. And so that's one of my ones that I kind of assembled in my list, but the whole goal this year for me personally is to kind of, double down on the stuff that I'm good at and then some extra sort of discipline things to try to accomplish a few things that I haven't gotten done, as well as finally spending some money on my eyeballs and getting LASIK.
Getting it lasered in the eyes
soon.
Which is perfect because the only reason I haven't yet is because I haven't bothered trying to find somebody who I trust. So now I'll just let you do that.
If you just want to do
that. I'll just do that for you guys.
Then
pass the note along.
If Sam turns out blind, then we will trust that person. Yeah. And
well, I still won't because that's only a sample of one. But
I will.
Sam, I'll feel better about it.
I'm very susceptible to anecdotal evidence.
Yeah, so I'll guinea pig that and then you guys can hop on
cool.
The train.
I'll be glasses free and able to see.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
20 great teens.
So I had
pretty good.
Is that the slogan? 20 great teen, glasses free and able to see.
I like it.
So my big thing that I'm going to focus on is it's not actually that big, but it's basically just to quit fucking around. So if there's something that I want to do,
just fucking do it.
Just do it now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cause there is that whole like, well, I just ate a turkey, so I guess I'll start working out next month, right. You know? Or I'm going to like stop watching Netflix, but I'm in the middle of this season. So I'll finish this thing,
right.
You know?
Right.
Although it does help that most seasons of most things just get progressively worse. So it gets easier to stop as you go.
That's true. The first two episodes are always bad.
Yep.
The third one is great. And then it
tapers off.
Yeah. It's downhill from there.
Well, that's why I said a monthly reminder, actually. At the end, the final Sunday of every month is like a monthly review and then setting the goals for the next month. So that way, the New Year's resolutions should become just monthly things as opposed to like this big, like, what am I doing with my life at the end of the year?
Because weekly is just too often.
Too often.
You can't.
Too granular.
Yeah. But every month, if you just take a look back at what did you get done last month that you're super pumped about? What's your plan for the next month? That's a small enough time frame that you can actually make meaningful changes. So that's good. Also, something that I think we missed it in talking about on the podcast, but so in the last episode, we wildly speculated about all of the amazing blockchain things that were going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And on, I believe, December 21st, there was just the tip of the blockchain iceberg is Long Island Iced Tea Company, the company that makes like those bottles of Long Island iced tea that you could buy. They changed their name to Long Blockchain Corp, made a public announcement saying, we're going to be looking into how to use blockchain to do stuff. Their stock surged 200%. And they're still currently just making booze because they don't actually know.
How would you integrate blockchain into Long Island iced tea?
I think they're going to pivot. So I feel like, there's a bubble when,
but it could also be that whoever is able to make decisions like change the name of the company right now, so their board or CEO or whatever, I just feel like they just saw what was happening. They were like, nobody's paid attention to us in a really long time because there's shit about what we're doing. So let's just do something so weird.
Well, this is literally the same as a company changing their name and adding .com to their name in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right. Even though they're not on the internet yet.
Yeah.
Or in any meaningful capacity.
Maybe we should.
Like, we have a website now. .com. Right. Stock price surges 300%.
Right. Yeah. Maybe we should become Blocker Scotch Chainigans.
Chainanigans.
I'll use that to sign off on our next newsletter. That's a good one.
Butter Block Chainanigans.
Yep. Butter Block Chainigans. That's pretty good. I like it.
Although we're going to get sued by Butter Block Theater and then.
By Butter Block Theater.
All right. Let's get on to some questions. These questions come from our listeners over at podcast.bscotch.net. So if you'd like to get your question on a future episode, head on over there and put it in the text box.
Every time you say that, I think of that jingle from Adventureland from growing up. Adventureland is an amusement park in Iowa. Come on over to Adventureland. Oh,
yeah. You gotta have a fulfilled day.
That's right. Every time you say it, the jingle
come
goes
on over
my
to podcast.bscotch.net. Put your message in the text box.
There we go. It's a better jingle.
Here it is. First question comes from Retro Banana Man NL. I was thinking of the time you called out if a podcast was a prime number or not, and you haven't done it in a while. Next up is podcast 131, which is a prime number. Smiley face.
Done.
I read that in advance.
Good.
And then I was reminded, and then I did it.
Yeah, if you guys could just let us know whenever that's happening, because it's very hard to calculate on the fly.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Don't lie about it.
And though. Actually, if our listeners could just kind of also just remind us of really everything, that would be great. So just like, when's laundry day?
We got a lot.
Do I have a dentist appointment?
Uh-huh.
If you guys could just kind of keep us on track, that would be good.
Crowdsource administrative tasks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next question comes from Anonymous. Ruckus question. What are your thoughts about a B-Scotch avatar generator so everyone in the community can customize their own buttery face in B-Scotch style? Any plans on forum integration with Ruckus as well? So first thing, we may not be able to call it Ruckus.
Turns out there's a wireless carrier called Ruckus.
Which we did. Well, actually, we knew about because we were Googling the name and like the only thing we found it was called Ruckus Wireless. And we're like, oh, we figured it was a wireless carrier, which is why we didn't even look any further. It turns out it's a little bit more vague than that. And it's more of like a provider of various networking solutions.
Probably blockchain.
Without a doubt, they do some blockchain.
You're going to spike their sock.
So while they're clearly a different thing, because they have a login system, they have this cloud stuff. You know,
we'll need to talk to the lawyers.
We'll have to talk to our people and find out.
If
we can.
Yeah.
We have a sweet logo. I already refactored all of my code to use the word Ruckus instead of
the thing is though their logo is a dog, which Zynga has. So maybe. If they sue us, we can be like, yeah, but, and then point over at Zynga and then
like
somehow
deflect it, like
start a fight between them. We step out.
just
keep doing our thing. Uh-huh. Nobody notices.
Well, the other reason I'm worried is because this company has like 20 trademarks. And they have a page of their trademarks in which they describe how important and valuable their trademarks are to them. And I was like, we might not want to fuck with this.
It seems dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
We will get sued.
Yeah.
So... there's just not a
But
question.
On the other hand, there are also, then I did a trademark search for the word Ruckus, which we didn't do ahead of time, because we figure, like, if we can't find it on the internet, then it doesn't matter if it's trademarked, probably. But there was like a couple hundred things using Ruckus in their trademark. And, you know, covering the whole gamut of just all the kinds of industries, you know. So on the other hand, I was thinking the trademark might be so weak anyway that we could also have a weak trademark with Ruckus.
Just be weak with everybody else.
Yeah, that way.
We could also call it Ruckusaurus and make it a dinosaur, sort of a.
And then it could eat the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
The logo is a dinosaur eating a dog. Honestly,
ideally, we somehow keep the Ruckus part so I don't have to refactor anything. Maybe we could just, we don't have to change the logo. That Ruckus could just be short for something, you know? That would be
like, it could be an acronym.
Ruckusaurus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Ruckusaurus.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
What was the second part of that?
I think the question actually was about whether people can make their own avatars.
Oh, yeah. Well, so just require being able to use a computer to read your face.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work, though.
I would do it a lot more simply by just making a bunch of face components that you just assemble.
Oh, yeah.
But then when we render it somewhere, we have to make a composite image out of it, which is...
It'll take at least 5 minutes.
It's going to take at least 5 minutes. Yeah. We're very busy. Yeah. So we'll just instead
we'll put that on the back burner.
We're probably going to give you just like a huge selection of 6 to 7 avatars hand-drawn by Sam in like 5 to 8 minutes a piece.
Maybe.
And
if you're lucky.
They're going to be gorgeous.
Yep. How many avatars do we have? Like 30, I think?
There's a lot.
50
there's
maybe even?
Yeah.
We have quite a few, actually.
There's 52. I think 52, 53. Oh, wow. But yeah, I think, well, this actually kind of goes to one of our studio resolutions for the year, which is 2018, 2018.
2018, keep it simple.
It's all about, for us,
too. Yeah.
It's actually about producing. So we're trying to stay out of the weeds with regard to a lot of these things we've kind of gotten tripped up in the past. And I'm going to tell you guys, we have a Crashlands update in the works, which we're very excited about.
It's going to be good.
And some other fun things I can't talk about right now, but you know, maybe next week we'll get into. But
we can't talk about it because today's the first day,
yeah,
that we're working on. Which we did talk about them in the last podcast.
Yeah,
we did. Yeah,
so we've gotten started on the smaller game project. Mm-hmm. It's pretty dope.
It's pretty much done. Also,
I finished it over break.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, I've programmed it for 18 hours, and we're like, that's good. All right, cool. Let's just slap some pictures on there. So, we're aiming to have some content out very routinely this year. And that focus, I think, is going to be really helpful for us to not necessarily make a face generator for people. You know, we're just going to say no. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
We could, but we could also not. And so that's what we're going to do.
20 great teen. Can we not?
Yeah.
20 great teen. Yes, we cannot. That's the slogan.
Yep. And in terms of the forums and whether Ruckus will be integrated.
Yes.
Probably
burn it
down. Nope. We're going to burn down the forum. And by burn down, we mean... Because old legacy Beastcatch ID will probably just have to stay intact, so we don't have to update everything. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably just leave that garbage pile until we
burn it down.
Until we someday just actually burn it down. But but for the foreseeable future, we'll just leave that stuff there, and I'll be slowly migrating content like the podcast page and probably eventually game specific forms or something that'll just be new. That'll come under the Ruckus umbrella. But yeah, it's, you know, we gotta burn some stuff down. That's 20 great tween, burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
So many slogans. All right, next question comes from Koolaboola. With A/B testing, do you use any other methods besides Google Play? So we've talked in the past about how Google Play provides these amazing A/B testing tools, and we can do things like delete our entire store description.
Super fun.
And see what happens.
Yep.
I love A/B testing because it literally is just a let's just see what happens thing.
Yep.
Like, what if our icon was just like Sam's face?
What happens?
Take a picture of that, put it on there, see what happens.
Well, I guess if you had a screaming face on mobile, that would probably increase our sales.
That's true. Apparently, that's the way to do it.
Well, so this also comes down to as part of our keep it simple, is realized, you know what? Who gives a shit?
Yep.
Because we could A/B test and try to squeeze like an extra 4% out of this and 6% out of that.
Yeah, we've been wiggling that needle for like 2 years.
We're sick of it.
I'm tired of wiggling
needles. We're just going to make new stuff.
Yeah.
What? But more importantly, almost everything we've done had no measurable effect, or if any effect, it was so small, it was hard to call a measure.
Or it was bad.
Or it was a bad outcome.
Or it was bad, yeah.
So if things are fine, just don't touch it.
Yeah, right. Once you've optimized something, the only direction, it just probabilistically speaking.
It's going to go down.
You're going to go down more often than you're going to go up.
Mm-hmm. So don't touch it.
Yeah, so as soon, the moment your changes start going down more often than they go up, you're optimized. Leave it the fuck alone.
walk away.
We've talked about the many times we've doubled our revenue in half, right?
We did it with Crashlands.
Did it with Crashlands. We've done it with Quadruple Rampage. Flop Rocket was a huge mistake in a lot of ways. Just like we've messed up most things. So if we get something to a point where we're like, this is viable, then I think the move from now on is either to walk away or continue in the same vein, right?
Yeah.
So if we're like, oh, cool, this worked. Like this, maybe we're selling an expansion pack inside of the game, you know, like Monument Valley did. Did it work? Yes. Cool. We'll do another one. Instead of being like, no, or yes, can we like tweak it? Can we do a little bit of wiggle around?
What if the expansion pack was $1 cheaper? What if it was $1 more expensive?
Who cares?
What if it was 5 expansion packs?
Yeah, what if it was 5 expansion packs, each of which was 1/5 of an expansion pack?
What if you got back to work and made some shit with your life instead of moving the needles?
That's what we're doing this
2018, mm-hmm. No more moving needles.
That's right. No more needles. It sounds like a different sort of
story. No more needles.
Which would be a good resolution anyway.
Both of those.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. If you're doing those opioids, stop it. 2018.
I know it's not that easy, but you know, maybe go get some help.
It's very hard.
Yep.
But don't. All right. Next question comes from Woland77. Do you play horror games? Would you ever make one? I would be all about a butterscotch horror game.
We talked about making one because they're fun.
I kind of wanted to play one this weekend. I don't know. I suddenly got an itch where I was like, I kind of want to do that to myself. But then I opened up Steam and I saw a pile of garbage and then I got tired and then stopped.
Did you? So you got me onto Fear.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how long ago that was.
Probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was probably a long time ago. Fear I really liked.
The thing is, that game scared the shit out of me for at least like 2 hours. And then at some point when I realized that I could just shoot everything. Just shoot. It's like shadow moves in the wall, shoot it.
Yeah.
Person gets sucked into an air vent, shoot the vent. Like just, that's your tool.
You or shoot the person. While they're being sucked
in. Yeah, I mean, they might come back.
This is how I feel about Doom, the new Doom,
mm-hmm.
the remake.
Yeah.
Because it's all like supposed to be creepy and there's, you know, these horrible looking monsters and there's gore everywhere, you know. But
you're in a position of power.
You're just such a badass. Yeah. Because, like, and part of the thing that you do is just is meleeing things, you know. So there's a whole like melee awesome system where you're just punching ghouls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something that, the moment you've punched a ghoul, there's just, it kind of takes the fear away.
Yeah, because, well, it's a control thing again. So I think the only game I played that was really terrifying to the point where I just stopped playing it was that Amnesia.
Yeah.
I played that.
Scared
and
the shit
I,
out of me.
I did a challenge where I was like, I'm just going to go against my instincts every time, right? So if something jumps out, I'm going to run at it. I'm not going to run away from anything. I'm not going to hide from anything. And so...
So you weren't playing the role of the frightened person going through a creepy labyrinth.
So it fucking ruined the game for me.
Oh, yeah, sadly.
Because, like, something happens. Like, I see some shadowy figure, like, walking away and, like, walking in a corner. I'm like, I'm going to catch him! And, like, I go run after it. I go around the corner and it's gone. I'm like, oh, fuck.
But, like, but if that same thing had happened, you'd, like, creeped over there really slowly. Like, oh, God, I hope there's nothing there. And you look over, you're like, oh,
yeah. So you just played that game as if you were playing Doom.
I played it like a game instead of like I was there.
Like a horror experience.
But there's ways to do really creepy
like
stuff.
Or like I pick up a broom, you know, and like the weird face monster comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm going to hit him with this broom. So like I chase him down, like I throw a broom at him just to see what happens.
I think the legit scary ones, like the I've watched previews or whatever you call them. Previews is the wrong word. Trailers for a bunch of them. And for each trailer I watched, I was like, nope.
Yep.
Not even going to fucking touch this. You know? There was a couple
the house
newish
one.
Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one where you like roll up to an asylum or something and you have to like go in there
also,
for some
bad
reason.
Bad plan.
You know?
Who's ever going
to like, everything why about this, I'm this? Like, why? Why? You know? But it's like you have to climb up and you go through this little hole and you come in. There's a woman standing there and she's like going crazy. And then somebody's like going into a vent off in the corner and you're supposed to go into the vent. And this is all in the trailer. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to just.
But see, if you play it like a game, then. To me,
you go up and try to interact with the woman, punch her a little bit, you know.
Right. Yeah, can I talk to this person? How's it going? What's going on in that vent? We got to see what's over there. But I think, I mean, it obviously ruins the horror aspect. But to me, it turns into a different kind of game, which is to see if you can guess what supposedly scary thing is going to happen next, right?
Right.
Because then you're like, instead of like cautiously creeping around, you're like voraciously like opening up cabinets, like
rampaging.
Peeking in, like ooh, I bet there's something in that dark hole. I'm going to jump in there, right? And it just changes everything. So I saw
a video for, I can't remember which one it was, but there's always like a new, you know, some new horror game coming out by some famous designer or director of some sort. And it was like, it's in an apartment or a house and you're kind of creeping around. I'm sure a bunch of our listeners have seen the video for this. And it's just, they do the atmosphere so well that I think like you couldn't, there's nothing to do because you're in this house, right?
Yeah.
So you can't just like run around like rummage and like sort of distract yourself from the terror. And so every so often you'll just like hear a creak in the house. You're like, oh shit. And then you go look at it and then, you know, it's nothing. Or you'll see a shadow pass and you run through, but it's like the same room you were just in. So there's no escape. There's no like.
So you can't just leave.
Yeah, exactly. There's no, there's like, no like,
this
progress.
House is fucked up. I'm just going to go to the grocery store.
Right. I'm getting out of here. Yeah, you can't do that. So I think that one was scary. But I think 2D horror games, I think, are really interesting because it's much harder, yeah, of course, because immersion
pull
is
off that vibe.
So I'd be super down for a 2D horror.
Well, Global
challenge.
Game Jam's coming up.
Sounds good.
I would feel like if I made a horror game, I would not be able to resist either making it seem like a horror game, but then having like some kind of weird, stupid jokes happen. Mm-hmm. Like just have some goofy ass thing. Like you think something terrifying is going to come leaping out and then something super fucking adorable just like comes out and starts squealing at you.
But or, then like kills you. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sort of a Monty Python rabbit.
Right.
Thing.
Right.
Or I want to make a horror game where it constantly makes it seem like something is going to happen and then nothing ever happens. Like for an hour, like the music keeps getting tense, you know, and like there's sounds.
But there's no resolve.
You come across something, like you come across an area where you're like, something's going to jump out of there. And then it never does. And you just keep walking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like you'll walk by and things will kind of just like shake a little bit.
Yeah. Cause really horror is all about suspense. It's like building the atmosphere. And if you watch horror movies, the scary stuff that happens is actually very rare.
Yeah.
And really, it's all about building the apprehension of a scary thing happening. It's like, what if they just took out those little tidbits of where scary things actually happen?
Just keep on building it.
And just like the movie, like, so it's just a movie about just like some people just going about their daily lives, but just with really foreboding music and then close-ups on very specific things. And you're like something knives. Bad's going to happen with that.
Right.
Like Final Destination. Yeah. Final Destination. Because in that movie,
you just know everybody's going to die.
You know everybody's going to die.
And everything's weaponized. Right?
Anything can kill anyone in this movie. Like
somehow.
Yeah. Somebody could just like walk past a stop sign and something happens with that stop sign, right? And so if they just like, but they do this constantly throughout where they actually do make you think things are going to happen and then something else happens, right?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, so there's no rumors of some of those scenes where it would be literally like five or six different things where I was like, oh, this is what's going to happen, that it didn't.
Yeah. So they'll be like, over and over. I remember the scene where the woman's brushing her teeth and I'm like, oh God, she's going to like trip and like the toothbrush is going to like jam through her eye or something. She just brushes her teeth and the music's all creepy. And then she finishes brushing her teeth and I'm like, oh,
thank God.
And then you see like water dripping off the edge of the sink. You're like, oh no. Oh,
she's getting electrocuted.
And then she just keeps walking and it's fine. You know, like it goes on for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Keep zooming in on things. Yeah, just do that for a whole movie. That would be the ultimate.
But the problem is
movie.
Like once you know that there's no
you have to think something's gonna happen.
Except then right at the end, everything happens all at once. So it becomes like a Rube Goldberg machine where at the end everything that has
just stored up.
Everything that has been zoomed in on is somehow involved.
Although it'd be fun if it ended up just being super innocuous, right? So like so if you come into a room and like things are now in a different place. So maybe you can like move things, so you put something somewhere, you leave and you come back, it's not somewhere else, right? So it's creepy music and then later on you come back in and your spouse is in there. And she's like, oh, I've been tidying up.
Yeah, I've been moving some things. How come I've moved some things? Yeah, did you move them back?
What's your problem?
What's going on?
We need to talk about it.
Or there's just like a mouse who's been like squeaking and making noises.
The one 2D game I saw that was really actually genuinely terrifying was Dark Wood, which just watch let's play of a YouTuber playing that thing. It's top down and they do atmosphere really well. So lots of fog of war and then sort of, you know, really creepy stuff. And a lot of it's just like you walking around with creepy music or like you'll see a body somewhere. You're like, oh shit. And you have limited ammo, you know, that sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. You got to have ammo.
You gotta have ammo, because otherwise, you know, unlimited shots is no fun. So
we could make is Don't Starve a horror game?
Nah.
I mean, it does get super dark and then you go insane and things come out of the darkness to eat your face.
Yeah, I'd say it has a dark theme, but it's not horror.
Hmm.
I'd love to make a horror.
Well, we have Global Game Jam coming up. We'll see what the theme is.
Let's do it.
You know? Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll dabble. Maybe we'll dip our toe in the waters of horror.
Horror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next question comes from D Helix. Hey dudes, how about doing quarterly video podcasts? Then, apart from putting us being able to faces to the voices. We got some word salad over here.
Probably one of those like typing in a phone, you know?
In any case, they wouldn't be able to put names to faces to voices. Gotcha. And you can show us stuff like DLC or sneak peeks at upcoming games. This is actually something that we've already been planning on doing.
Yep. So we're working on a little bit more of actual video content from inside the studio. So this would be sort of the first one should be hitting in a little bit. I don't know, like a month or something. That'll probably be pretty short because Monique is training up on videography. So we put together a little video, which, you know, we'll probably combine some of the discussions from the design side, as well as just interviewing people and asking kind of what they're up to. And then the next newsletter, actually, we're taking more of this sort of bent. Adam had sent along this article during the break about from Nintendo Power and all the stuff they did. And I found it very inspiring. I thought it was really fun because mainly what they did was they were just like, there's like, we'll just talk about the games that we made instead of necessarily always laying out like, here's what's happening next or here's a thing for you to go do. Just be like, oh, here's like some stuff you probably didn't know about.
Here's some behind the scenes things. Right? Here's some cheat codes.
Exactly.
We probably do need to start introducing like legit cheat codes.
Yeah.
Like that was such an awesome thing.
Like if you name your pet Jorts Lord.
Yeah, then something happens.
Then it gets
damage. But I mean, people hack the games into the ground anyways.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but that's not the fun part. Because it isn't like, to me, it was never fun to like use external things, you know, to do that kind of stuff. But knowing that the developer put the thing there.
It's for you to discover.
Yeah, for you to discover or whatever. I think there's something that's really fun about it. And it wouldn't have to necessarily, even if it was just more Easter egg-y than it was like a cheat. But but having those kinds of explicitly hidden things that do something interesting, we need some more of.
Yeah. So
I'm down.
Yeah. We're going to be, again, this comes down to the production mindset and also just kind of keeping everybody in the loop a little bit more. Because, you know, we had our Linux launch, back a few weeks ago, and a few people said, oh, you know, it would have been nice to have known that these things were happening. I'm like, it's fair. We just don't do that typically. Even though we do the newsletter, it tends to be very focused and very small, actually. So the next one
part of the trouble has been too, we don't know what our people are going to be interested in.
Correct.
And hearing about, and we haven't fragmented. I mean, we've kind of fragmented into a few newsletters, right? So we have new games and sort of general updates and that sort of thing. But because we hadn't really thought about it from the perspective of just telling people stuff about
cool stuff,
what we're up to.
People want to hear about stuff.
Yeah. Then I think we just weren't using it.
We're also apologetic about it.
Yeah.
Right. We're like, what if they don't like us?
Well, right. But actually, I think there's a further problem too, though, which is that, so when with the Linux launch, we were like, well, almost nobody, statistically speaking, uses Linux, right? True. So why would we send off an email to, you know, 100,000 people and be like, hey, we're launching on Linux, right?
That way the 8 people out of there who open the email and have a Linux machine.
Right. Right. So this question of, you know, that's prevented us from sending stuff out. But if instead we would just say, let's kind of compile information, just like compile stuff about what we're doing.
Actually, like what we did.
Lore tidbits.
Yeah, you know? What we did actually in the first instantiation of the newsletter, which is just, it was a monthly requirement that we put one out. It used to be like back in the very early days when there were like 12 people who were on it. We would just do one every month, and it was just this, it was like, here's some design notes, I guess, from last week. we have nothing going on. But we just kind of talk about design pieces or, you know, show off a new piece of art or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just because it's supposed to be a little bundle of joy you get delivered to your inbox. So we should just do that. So we're going to give that a go and hopefully people like it. I don't know.
If they don't, they'll just unsubscribe and then we'll never be able to talk to them again.
Good.
The end.
I don't want to deal with them.
Yeah. Next question comes from...
Everybody wins if you unsubscribe.
Comes from D... Oh, wait, not D Helix. We just did that one. From Farseer. The Beastgosh universe holds endless possibilities, yet maintaining the lore could be seen as a design constraint / burden. What do you see it as? Can endless possibilities be a design constraint? Is it a Schrodinger's constraint? Am I even real?
That got real weird.
Flew off the rails.
Going to your realness question.
Is real?
Yeah. Have they figured out if we're living in a simulation yet? Is anybody...
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's no way to know.
But also, yeah. You
know? Also, who cares?
But what if the simulation is simulated? You know what I mean?
Yeah, also, for a few turtles deep.
But I mean, what's the difference between, you know, a simulation and not a simulation?
Practically. Literally nothing.
Just literally nothing.
Unless you can do the Matrix thing and be like, I know, I'm in a simulation, and then fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
That's the simulation thing does make a lot of sense.
But I haven't seen anybody flying, so I'm pretty sure we're not
there.
Yeah. Well, the problem is I don't think you can just sort of will your way through the programming. You got to find the cheat codes.
That's true.
You know, you got
to. They apparently are hidden very well.
Very hard to find.
nobody's found it yet. Yep. But I think it's also, you know, there's dark matter and dark energy, mm-hmm. which we just call it that because we don't know what the fuck it is.
True.
And really, it's just rounding. It's just
a surrounding error.
Rounding errors.
Really big rounding errors.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's a lot of things being rounded.
That's true.
Which is why there's like 90% of the mass in the universe is actually just rounding errors.
Yeah.
So
whoever made the simulation did a horrible job.
Well, they had to optimize it. You know, they're working on old shitty tech.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that we've established that we're probably that false, but also who cares? You know, because you're still very real to you, which is all that's important. The question,
and you're real to us unless you unsubscribe to
that's right. That's
and then you're dead to us.
In which case, you're dead to us.
Yeah, but as far as the lore and the expansion goes, we always just sort of. I think the fun thing about the Butterscotch universe is that it's wacky enough that we can do literally whatever we want. But
we can retcon anything,
and then we retcon it. So that's actually usually what happens. And so we'll start working on a thing, and we're like, it'd be cool because of whatever we're doing here. What if this was this weird, I don't know, gelatinous lab experiment that escaped? And then as we get into it, then we'll start pulling it back into the universe, if that makes sense. Yeah. So you sort of let it expand and then kind of chain it back to the original lore.
Well, it's the beauty of sci-fi fantasy as a, you know.
There's magic and science.
Yeah, it lets you do anything.
You can do literally anything.
So I think the biggest part is actually just providing people with either visual or if they're storytelling, sort of ties back to the larger universe, which is really fun. So for example, you know, in Roid Rage or Meteor Madness, we have the juice concept, which is like it's all this gaseous stuff out in there, out in the space. And then when you're in Crashlands, we brought the Juicemancy patch in, so you can now harvest crystallized juice and then use that. And so I think having these cross-reference things is really fun. And beyond that, we don't take it too seriously, which I think is kind
of
key.
None of our games were designed with the intention, none of them were designed with the intention of fitting into the same universe. Because mm-hmm. If you take, so Telfi was the first game. And the second game is Quadrupus Rampage, which does have one of the Viru.
It's the only reason it's tied back.
That was only added to the very end. It had nothing to do with development. It was added to the very end to add a story.
So was Grubby. Grubby was added at the end. We're like, yeah. And then Grubby comes down. He's like, oh, Lord Hardik, who's the guy from the first game.
Yep. Right. So the game's developed completely independently. And then we have Roid Rage and Flop Rocket, literally unrelated, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have Crashlands, which was completely unrelated until we needed to start adding story.
Yep.
And then we needed to bring in NPCs to tell the story and to be, you know, things.
Because it's hard to generate an entire universe with your mind. So if you have a few things, a few stepping stones, you know, from previous projects, pull them forward.
You got to do it just a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm. It's easier.
Yeah. You just don't worry about it. You just make a thing and then you ask, how can I make this go together? And, and the trick is just to never be too specific.
Well, and the fact is people are willing to accept literally anything that you slap together.
Correct.
So the fact that, you know, one of the most popular game franchises of all time is a fat Italian plumber running through a place called Donut Land, where he travels through pipes, jumps on mushrooms, beats up turtles, and rides a dinosaur that eats tomatoes.
I mean,
he touches sense. A flower and throws fireballs at mm-hmm. things.
Uh-huh. And he puts on a raccoon suit and then can
and
fly.
And now he can fly with his mm-hmm. tail.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's all about confidence, you know?
That's true. You can wear a burlap bag if you're confident enough. Same thing. Yeah.
Lore is like fashion. It's just all about how you wear it. So
yeah, sometimes you have high fashion, you have high lore, right? Which is like your token-esque, like really deep in the weeds, and then you have your low fashion, you know? Your sweatpants.
You got your Super Mario. People are like, yeah, this all tracks. It
looks comfy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and when I learned about things like why is Mario named Mario? It's because they had in the Nintendo of America's office, they had a distribution warehouse, and the landlord for that warehouse looked kind of like Mario, and they were like, and originally Mario was named Jumpman because you're like, well, he's a man and he jumps. Man. But then when Jumpman got his own game, they were like, well, we can't just call it Jumpman.
It's ridiculous.
And their landlord for the warehouse had a big mustache, and they were like, hey, our guy has a mustache. Landlord's name is Mario.
Good enough.
Jumpman is now named Mario.
This comes back to our whole point about who gives a fuck?
Yeah, who gives a fuck? Donkey Kong?
Keep it simple.
The story behind how Donkey Kong got his name. Do you know this?
I think I heard it, but I don't remember.
It's the same level of
unreal.
It was
a trademark problem, wasn't it, or something?
No, it was just an error, which was Donkey Kong's name in the original Japanese was just Stubborn Gorilla.
Ah.
And
so a donkey is stubborn.
When they were translating
it. When they were translating it, the first word, because this was like before the internet, you know, whatever, and like your sources of getting translations are not going to be super reliable. And so they got the word donkey as stubborn and Kong as gorilla because King Kong and stuff was around. And so, so Donkey Kong was supposed, it was literally supposed to be Stubborn Gorilla. And that was their intent, just accidentally became Donkey Kong.
I think we talked about this a bit, how a lot of artists and designers for games doing lore or whatever else, they're always, they have this idea that icons are, that you can like make an icon.
Make
on
it purpose.
Just on purpose. And the reality is like the icon, the iconography comes out of the success of the thing. So in the case of Minecraft, for example, no one in their mind would have said, hey, if we want to make like a really successful game, let's make some block-headed, super low texture.
Ugly as
just hideous people.
Make sure their animations are real bad too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you wouldn't think that then a sword, a 2D sword that has something like 30 pixels in it.
Yeah.
Could then become an icon so successful that you could sell foam versions of that in stores.
Right, because something is iconic only because people just recognize
it and know about it. And
that's it.
Certainly, you can make things easier to like draw, for example.
Yeah,
don't go overly. Don't make people try to make an icon out of a Gundam, for example. But you know, also those are an icon. So hey, whatever. So don't worry about it. You know.
And I think it is good to have that as a consideration as you're designing things to just always be thinking like. How could this be more simply represented? Because that's what makes something, you know, iconic and able to be turned into iconography. But if you're making games especially, then you need to be able to have things that look fine at all kinds of resolutions. Mm-hmm. Like all these things happen.
Who cares?
They kind of cause that to happen anyway.
Well, I think the point is that icons are made, not born. That's basically what it comes down to.
Icons live forever, but...
Heroes never die.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
The Sandlot.
Mm-hmm. For sure, that's where that comes
from. All right, so there's one more question we have to hit based on what we have talked about, which is from DVXme. Considering the possibility that our life is a simulation, what would be the bugs and glitches? How would the disasters in the outer simulation or reality impact our world?
Mm.
So if somebody spilled a cup of coffee on just the universe,
what would happen?
What if they spilled it on the universe's keyboard? I assume that would fry the whole computer like TV shows.
I think it's how it works.
That's how it works, right?
Mm. Well, I think as far as glitches go, that whole thing that happens when you walk into a room and you forget why you were walking into a room, that seems...
That's just a loading screen.
Yeah, that seems like an instantiation problem of some sort.
You had to clear some RAM, right?
There's a lot of those, with humans in particular. Yeah. Probably just because we know ourselves more than we know about
Yeah, and like, why do we need to sleep? Well, it's because if everybody was conscious all the time, then that would just be a really heavy load on the CPU.
That's
the
probably simulation, true. Right?
So humans need to live in shifts.
Maybe that's also why we're so destructive, because the more of us there are, the more likely we are to kill each other and destroy the planet.
Yeah, it's our natural tendency to kill everything because that just frees out computation.
So
that's
why we kill all the animals. And we've done a really good job with like antibiotics and stuff, because you can kill like literally a trillion organisms at once with antibiotics.
Frees up a lot of RAM. Or extinction events. Same thing. Someone was like, I just need to wipe his hard drive. Give me one of the meteors.
Let's just chuck a meteor
in
there.
These dinosaurs are really CPU intensive. I didn't optimize them.
They're so big.
They didn't do enough overwrite repasses, though, because then there were still some things that survived and then repopulated. So they
missed a few.
Yeah. You gotta use the DoD version 3 or whatever, you know, full hard drive nuke.
Yeah.
When it comes to like earth scale things, because life is real stubborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was a Saturday Morning Breakfast cereal comic where they have this, the best one where they represent God as like a floating golden disc or whatever. And like God is at the universe shop. And he's like, I just need like three dimensions and time. And then the dude running the shop is like, what are you talking about, man? Like, this guy thinks he's going to make a universe with just three dimensions of time? Like, what a chump. He's like, I don't need a good one. I just need a universe. So
that's how it feels sometimes, you know?
Yeah. So what are the glitches? Like when, so that's just like the technical constraints, which is we all know that, you know, sometimes you get too much RAM, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's actually probably why we have global warming too, is because it's just all that processing power.
It's just too hot.
Just getting hotter and hotter.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
What about like if you dig into the ground, mm-hmm. right? Is that being sort of rendered only on the surface and then it gets generated when you dig?
Yeah,
sort of Minecraft style, yep. Or
I bet.
So like nothing exists under the mesh.
The Schrodinger's Earth.
This is where sinkholes come from, probably.
Mm. Yeah. Rendering error.
They forgot to render it.
It's a collision error problem, right?
Mm, so
right.
The house kind of clipped through
into the secret. And then there was nothing there because it hadn't been rendered yet.
And then, of course, we have all these geologists who are like, oh, no, here's how this works. And like they make up something and we're all like, yeah, that seems reasonable, yep. right? But the problem is you can't actually see it.
Well, and you know how, like, if you're using Unity and you're playing with, like, the physics stuff, so if you stick two objects together and they clip a little bit, they start shaking, getting out of control?
Yeah, that's how earthquakes work. Yeah. It's two tectonic plates clipped each other.
Yeah. So you have to undo that.
Yeah.
But you have to move a lot of mass to make that happen, so it's just a little chaotic. Very dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah, and this also explains why, because, like, you know, why are we so far away from things?
You mean in the universe?
Just in the universe. So There's billions or trillions of galaxies,
mm-hmm.
and then there's trillions of planets.
Well, there's a lot of stuff, but there's a lot more empty stuff between the stuff, right?
Well, this is the joke about in physics, right? It's always easy to represent a sphere that's not interacting with anything. So you keep things really far apart in your simulation, and you make them into spheres. You make them into spheres.
Like a spherically shaped cow in a vacuum.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which is literally what the universe is. Right?
The universe is just a bunch of spheres in a vacuum, because right. It's just more efficient that way.
It's way cheaper to do those calculations. And they're also far enough apart that the gravity doesn't affect each other all that much, except on a really big scale. So you have to deal with all these like three body problems and stuff where you're trying to figure out where the fuck things are supposed to be.
Yeah, you're like, well, what's the gravity of, you know, Alpha Centauri going to do to us? Well, nothing.
Just don't worry about it.
We just put it way the fuck over there.
We don't have to worry about it.
We just round it off.
Yeah. And you only have to render it when somebody looks through a telescope, which is also a pretty good deal. So you just rarely actually have to do that at all.
Yeah. And this also explains, so we know about Moore's law, which is, you know, every 18 months, computing power increases.
Doubles.
Of course, Moore's law in the simulation universe, mm-hmm. like whoever it is that built the simulation, they've got their own rate of increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they also probably have their own time because they exist outside of our universe.
Right.
So
with things like, you know, the rate of population growth of humans and stuff mm-hmm. like that, you know, it probably pretty closely mirrors, you know, and if we start getting too many humans too fast, they gotta do something.
Well, this assumes that humans are the most computationally intense creatures on the planet, right?
Yeah.
What if
we're not?
We're not. What if it's trees?
My bet is it's not trees. If I was a betting man.
I don't know. They're pretty big.
Go with not trees. They're pretty big, but they're mostly just a whole bunch of tubes stuck together.
Aren't we?
Yeah, so
I certainly felt like a bunch of tubes yesterday.
So the thing about trees is actually they move really fast, but they've been slowed down to save on processing power.
Mm. Yeah, that's why you watch them in fast motion. You're like, wow, this is freaky. Or have you seen that video of the beanstalk? Whipping around trying to find something to grab onto.
Because if plants were rendered in real time,
oh my God,
then
horrifying.
We'd just be getting whipped by beanstalks and you'd be walking around, all of a sudden a tree would just burst out of the ground and you'd just be in a tree.
So basically a druid is able to, on an instance by instance basis, speed up
the computation.
The computation time of plants.
Yeah. Entangling roots, you know, when you summon roots from the ground.
It's really just fertilizer does, I guess.
Yeah. It's really just fast roots.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. And growth hormones. Mm-hmm. Really, those are just breaking the throttle on our processing time.
Interesting.
That's right.
Interesting.
So,
our frame rate.
Yeah. Right.
So then the last piece of this question is, what happens if something happens outside of the simulation?
I think we all die. That's easy.
Yeah, we wouldn't know it.
But you wouldn't know, so who cares?
Or maybe some of us die.
Probably all of us, if it's like a simulation-wide event.
How many times do you think...
What if you just ended up somewhere else?
Well, if they paused the simulation because you're like, "Ooh, we got to shut this thing down because we got to swap in a new, like, we got a new RAM stick," so we got to pause this thing. So they just quickly save the universe, right? Mm-hmm. And then they they just turn the computer off.
Right.
They put a new RAM stick in there and they boot it up again and then reload the universe.
But here's a question, though.
But we wouldn't notice, no. Right?
But even if something did happen outside of this simulation, because of the time problem, which is that time doesn't exist outside of the simulation, at least not in the way that we understand it, right?
Right.
Then even if something happens, it might not actually like have an effect on us until after the universe has already ended.
Mm.
You know? So yeah. it might actually be that we're completely insulated from things happening because we're guaranteed to just end because the simulation was pre-programmed to die at some point.
Mm.
And it could actually be that relative to whatever time means outside of the simulation, this whole thing has only happened in like the blink of the thing's eye that designed it. Right?
Yeah.
Didn't even have time to put in a new RAM stick.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, this is how like weather forecasting works, right? Like they go, all right, we want to know what the weather's going to be like next week. Let's put a bunch of conditions in there, hit the simulate button.
Right.
Boom. Now we have a map.
Right.
Right. Mm. It's like instant.
So you're saying that we are the outcome of a weatherman.
Somebody's
in
like
fifth dimension.
Somebody in a fifth mm-hmm. dimension is like, I wonder what would happen if the universe was like this. Man, and they just hit a button real quick.
Yep. That's us.
That's
right
us
now.
Right now. We're living in that instant moment.
Yep. And they're on a coffee break right now. You know, they're gonna come back and
their simulation's running for like 4.5 minutes.
Yeah. You know, they're gonna come back and be like, oh, that was got real weird.
That
in there.
Got weird.
These little things just destroyed everything. It was wild.
But then the question is, are they simulating the whole universe? Or are they just simulating Earth and the rest of the universe is
yeah, that's way too
projected.
Costly to do that.
Yeah. Nah.
Now, they're definitely, because like why, you know? They must be just simulating the entire universe and then just, we'd have, like they probably don't even know that we're here because it's a lot of data to go through.
That's true. You wouldn't be able to find a human. Yeah. It'd be like finding a, you know.
Wait, it's too costly to only simulate the Earth?
No, as in like, why would you simulate the whole universe if all you really cared about was the Earth? Because you could just have the Earth, you know?
Well, I guess it depends on the parameters of the simulation. Like what kinds of questions?
Like a better question is, why is this person running these simulations in the first place?
Yeah. Just for research.
What's the end game? Or maybe it's a video game.
Maybe a video game.
They're like, I'm going to mess with these. It's like Kerbal Space Program, right? You just go in, like mess around, fly around a little bit.
Like, well, that exploded.
Everybody died.
Time to send a rescue planet. Send a rescue mission.
I wonder if we're on fifth dimension Twitch right now. You know, someone's streaming somebody, this universe. Somebody's like, playing. Dude.
Somebody's playing Earth right now on fifth dimension Twitch.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's that Rick and Morty episode where there's the video game where you just play the entire life of a guy.
Yes, right? What's the video game called? Like Roy
or something like that. I can't remember, but it's like in real time. So you experience what seems like an entire lifetime, but you come out of there and it's been like a minute, right?
Yeah,
weird.
Like so what if we are actually all? Because it was also, he didn't realize that was what had happened because you have to like be aware of that fact, right? So what if actually what's happening is that we are all, you know, some alien species.
You're like a summoner from League of Legends.
Just playing a video game.
Just playing a video game where they're actually, they are us experiencing life in this simulation that they've created. And actually it's them playing a video game
but it's with probably
us
like
as avatars.
A 3 to 5 minute session if they're on mobile, you know, to get from birth to death.
Well, they might have to have AI step in, you know.
Right.
While people aren't actually actively playing.
Mm-hmm. This also explains why it's hard to remember names and faces sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they actually got unloaded from memory.
Mm.
And, because here's the thing. If you don't remember a person's face, they could technically just get a new one. Like, just generate a new one and you wouldn't need to save it. Right? Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a really good garbage collector for the system, right? That can tell when there are no longer any references to the faces. And
right. That's like, yeah, just
delete that.
Just regenerate a new face next time. It's like a Perlin noise thing.
Maybe it's like the faceless man myth. You know, there's always those. It's like most cultures.
Yeah, just
like
some error, actually.
It's just shit. An error.
We forgot to put a face on it.
he's just walking around.
You know, can't see his own face. He's walking around like trying to get groceries.
He's playing in the first person.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this is why mirrors were invented, was to prevent this kind of thing from happening, because if there's nobody to see that you have a face, you might not realize that somebody doesn't have a face until they see another person.
Which
right?
is too late, right?
And it might be too late depending on how long it takes to render faces.
Mirrors actually do the check. Yeah. They check.
Mirrors are just a...
Yeah, they're just the simulations check to make sure that you don't have a null pointer for a face.
That's pretty good. I think it's a good note. Good note to end on.
Yes! I like that. That's good. Okay. Well, that got weird. All right. Be sure to tune in next week for whatever the hell we're going to talk about. I think we're going to talk about probably whatever progress we made on the game this week. So what's
and then maybe we'll have a new name for Ruckus. Or maybe we will have been sued already.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be called Truckosaurus. So, all right. So we'd like to thank our studio wrangler, Monique, and our producer, Fat Bar, for putting this episode together. And the Beescotch dev team for continuing to jam on stuff while we record the podcast. Special thanks to our community moderators who keep our Discord and forums running. And if you'd like to get more involved in the Butterscotch community, you can hop over to our Discord server at discord.gg/Beescotch and come say hello. And if you'd like to adorn your body with Butterscotch merch, you can check out our shop, which is over at shop.beescotch.net. Or if you'd like to send us some stuff, we have a mailbox, which you can find over at mailbox.beescotch.net. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.